All right, all right, all right. Carnivore Soldier coming at you from Austin, Texas. Today we got episode 2 in the Carnivore Way podcast and video series. Today we have the Carnivore Nation showing up, and he's a YouTube content creator named Carl Day, and I'm going to bring him in here and let him introduce himself. From the UK, by the way. He's from across the pond. Hey, Carl, how you doing?
Hi, very good. Good to see you again, Larry. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Today is my 118th day on the carnivore diet, and you're part of the reason I'm doing it. So really pleased to have the opportunity to do a podcast with you.
Oh, wow. That's awesome, man. That's fantastic. I'm on like 215 or 216, but that's why I started this channel. I don't know about you, but so I started this channel because I wanted to reach other people, or at least share my story, and hopefully they would be influenced and try it at least. But yeah, so anyway, that's really flattering. And I'm humbled. I'm glad I could be a portion of the reason that you're here.
No, brilliant. Thank you very much. You know,
why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? Tell me a little about yourself, where you're from, where you live, what you do, that kind of stuff, what your background is.
Okay. My name's Carl Day. I'm 57 years old. And in my youth, I was a fit guy. I used to do rugby, football, you call soccer, even though it's football. And I did judo, and I did judo at a fairly good level, quite competitive, had opportunities to represent Great Britain and things like that. So I was fairly fit and it was good. And obviously I would eat 3,000-4,000 calories during the course of the whole events and all that, and thought nothing of it. Obviously fell in love, got married, children, all the various bits and pieces with that. Started enjoying life. I went into supply chain and logistics, very yawn. But obviously it involved a lot of sitting at desks and not doing nowhere near as active as possible. And over the years, I transformed from sort of a judo into almost a sumo. And over the many years, I've tried every diet you can imagine. You name it, I've done it. I even went vegan for 3 months. I lost weight on veganism. However, I was hungry constantly and I didn't feel. And it wasn't too difficult to break it. And I've been trying immensely. And I think at the turn of the year, I was on the scales and I realized I was now in the obese side of it. My body mass index was 32. I'm 6 foot tall and I do everything in kilos. So I was just over 110 kilos, which is 240, 250 mm-hmm. pounds, 17 odd stones. I knew I needed to do something. And then by sheer chance, I think we've all been touched by it. I saw the Jordan Peterson, Joe Rogan interview. Yeah. And saw what Jordan was saying about his daughter, Michaela, and the journey he was on. And it kind of got my interest. And obviously I did I'd started doing research and I came across Dr. Ken Berry and Dr. Chafee and Dr. David Diamond, or Professor David Diamond, absolutely blew my mind on the whole cholesterol. But however, they're very polished professionals. And I came across Your Good Self by Foot Search on Carnivore. And as I've mentioned to you previously, I see you as a regular Joe, you know, and you spoke the sort of language I understood. And I kind of sort of watched pretty much your entire back catalogue and found bits that interesting. And I kicked off. So on the 20th of June this year, I weighed myself at 100, just under 111 kilos or 250 pounds, and decided I needed to get back to my competitive judo weight, which was, I used to compete under 90 kilos. It wasn't a massive loss to achieve, but for me, it was a mountain to achieve. And by 92 days, on the 20th of September, I was 86 kilos. So I was well over the moon, couldn't believe it. My wife couldn't believe the transition she was seeing. And as she said, she doesn't understand the fact that I eat more fat and I'm losing twice as much fat as I'm eating it. It's the bizarrest thing. And if you go to my channel, I did an interview with the wife who gave her point of view from it as well, which was quite interesting.
I did watch that. It was very good.
Yeah.
Very good, so, good point of view.
It was just a different angle, really. And obviously my nephew followed me. I did a Facebook post after the first month and my nephew followed me, and his story's on there as well, which you said that you've seen as well. And he was in a worse state than me. His back was messed up. He had all sorts of issues. I'm the youngest of 7 boys. My father was diabetic. My grandfather was diabetic. My great-grandfather was diabetic. My second eldest brother's now diabetic. Seeing the weight I was holding, it to me was a matter of time and concern. So I needed to do something, and I'm blown away by the results. So,
hey, let me break in there real quick. You say they're all diabetic. What type of diabetes? Type 1, type 2?
Right. My great-grandfather and my grandfather were type 1. Okay. My father had a shock. He had a thrombosis go through his lung, and the shock triggered diabetes. So he was classed as type 2, but okay, clearly there's a genetic weakness in the pancreas through the gene pool.
Right.
So we're available. My second eldest brother is now diabetic, and he's type 2 as well. It is his obesity and his lifestyle. He does like too many beers, really, but you know, mm-hmm, that's my brother. But that was a big concern in my mindset. And also my father, before he passed away, was for the last 10 years suffering from dementia. So it was like living with a stranger, really. And reading some of the research now about fat and dementia and Alzheimer's and all that, it was clear to me, because of his diabetes, he was on a low fat diet. And yes, then his dementia was triggered. And I generally believe now, from what I've looked at, there's a clear connection that triggered that. So yeah, I decided to use myself as my own experiment. And please,
yeah, N equals one, right? You're going to do your N equals one. So they call Alzheimer's type 3 diabetes. Yeah. And my mother died of Alzheimer's. So I saw the progression. I saw what she was eating leading into it and while she had it. Because when she got institutionalized, of course, she went on a low fat, low cholesterol, high sugar diet, high carb diet, because that's what the institution gives you, and saw her slip away in a matter. It took a long time, but she was only 10 years older than I am now. Yeah, and that was scary. And I was like, wow, that woke me up when that happened. And I was like, that was my why. That I didn't want to be like that for my son, for my brother and sister. And now we're all on it. My brother and sister and I were all healing and having different great results. But yeah, for sure, I think the metabolic syndrome that we see is responsible for, based on our diet, is responsible for a whole host of these diseases that I never even heard of growing up. I don't know about you, but Crohn's, IBS, yeah, GERD, never heard of that. It's not like they discovered it. That was around. It was just so completely rare that we never saw it, right? I mean, and now it's like everyone has something. It's really crazy. And I really believe, my hypothesis is that the standard Western diet, I can't call it American because America's probably a worse version of it than yours, but it's all over, right? And I think it's causing a lot of this.
But Britain very much follows the American. What happens in America is 5 years down the line is happening in the UK. And the obesity in the UK is it's frightening.
When you were growing up, did you have a whole like 40% or 50% of your childhood class that was overweight? Because I didn't. Nope. I had like one or two fat kids in my class, and that was it.
Yep. That is very much the case of us. I can think of one person that our class was obese then.
What do you think now? What do you think it is now if you go to a school and let them watch them come out of class? What do you think? What percentage?
It's frightening. I would say it's in the high 70s easily. Yeah. It's scary. And so my wife, you know, if you've seen on the video, she's quite a petite lady, but she loves a McDonald's, and I'll go to McDonald's with her and I'll just order a couple of the little burgers without any compliments.
Like Kelly Hogan.
Yeah, yeah. But the amount of children in there that are just, and I know it's not my place and I'd never do that, but you want to say, can I help you? Can I talk to the parents and say, my God, can you see what you're doing? But it's not your place to do, but it's frightening when you're seeing small children that are clearly obese.
Not only is it not your place, no one would believe you. And that's the problem. It really, no one, I wouldn't have believed you if you came to me and said, hey, did you know this? And I would have said, hey, mind your own business, but I just wouldn't believe you. It's incredible. Incredible. That's the perfect word, because you cannot believe there's any credibility that this, just like Jordan Peterson, you know, you cannot believe that eating meat alone could do such things, but it does, clearly.
Yeah. I don't know if you followed him, that David Diamond as well, and his research on him. I've followed on one of his, I've bought this. I don't know if the camera will pick it up with this silly camera, but I'm going through this book at the moment, and it is mind blowing. And everything in that book is the complete opposite to what I was brought up and taught.
Yeah, me and too.
It's scary.
Well, here's the thing, though. You and I grew up where when we were children, we weren't part of that food pyramid because it wasn't out yet. So we were still eating the square meal. That's what we called it, which is more of a whole food meal. There is much less seed oil involved. In fact, my mother would make salad dressing when we'd have a salad out of buttermilk with seasonings. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't canola oil and all this stuff. It wasn't until the low-fat report came out from the Govern Commission in America that the food pyramid got launched and everything switched to low-fat diet. Well, once they took fat out of the foods, they had to replace it with sugar and seed oils, healthy fats, right? What they call healthy fats. And that's, so I think the people that came up after we did had a much worse result than we did because we grew up kind of on whole foods. We rarely went out when I was a kid. I don't know about you. When you were a kid, how often did you go to McDonald's?
We were fortunate. My father was one of the last hunter-gatherers, so he'd fish, shoot, and all that. So I used to go to school with a pheasant sandwich and swap it for a piece of ham or a bit of cheese, you know? So we ate well, even though we weren't a well-off family because seven boys in the family. I mean, that's...
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah,
my mum wanted the girl every time, so I had to wear a dress for 4 years, but that's another story. No, but we ate brilliantly, and then obviously it's only when you flee the nest and all that and you're in relationships, you start having the burgers and the KFCs of this world and all that. But before then, never did.
Right. And actually, when they did have a KFC back then, it was actually fried in lard.
Yeah.
And now it's not, obviously.
It's annoying.
I don't know if you've
it?
Seen the food's been re-engineered completely. I don't know if you've seen my French fry video where I talk about the 14 ingredients in a McDonald's French fry. That has to be infinitely more expensive to make and to research than just cutting potatoes and throwing them in with salt and a lard, right?
Yeah. There's no logic to it, is there?
Well, they're designed. That's the logic is it works because it's the number one selling item, right? It's designed to make you addicted.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
But it is the reason.
But it is addiction. It is. I mean, I think Chafee goes on about plants trying to kill you. But other than gambling, I think every other addiction is food. There's cocaine, marijuana, you know, heroin, alcohol.
Plant-based addictions.
All plants. So that should be telling people something.
Yeah, it's interesting. You don't get addicted to eating steaks, although they taste wonderful. You're not like jonesing for another steak, right? You just get hungry and then you eat one and... Anyway, that's very interesting. So what prompted you and your why was seeing your family being sick and you evaluating your own body?
It was a combination of me becoming clearly obese and getting over the denial that I'm in your mind, you're much fitter than you really are. And I think the reality of that, then seeing, fortunately, both my parents lived to their 90s, but my father for the last 10 years or so was almost stranger because of the dementia.
That's
and
tough.
That I absolutely convinced was triggered because of the diabetes and the diet that he had on the diabetes. Because before then, he would eat fish and meat and lots of fatty foods throughout his life. And then suddenly he stopped because that's the healthy thing to do.
Right.
And seeing how he's deteriorated. So the combination of me heading in the wrong direction, seeing one of my brothers also getting diabetes and think, right, it's a time bomb. I've got to do something about it. I was looking for the last 18 months or so for a solution. And as I say, the carnivore to me, but for me, it's not a diet. It's a lifestyle now.
Absolutely. It is a lifestyle. And speaking of lifestyle, let's talk a little about how it actually affects your life. I mean, you still have a wife that eats regular food in addition, but she probably eats more of a whole food diet, right? Not as much.
We'd call balanced. Yeah.
I'm single. So for me, the lifestyle change was radical because my grocery shopping I have a very minimalistic food life now. I used to plan everything around food, going out on vacation. I was planning restaurants, going on dates, going on, you know, everything. When my son was coming and I had him for a weekend, cause I only have him every other weekend. I would plan meals every night he was going to be here. Now it's like, I just grab some steaks, some burgers and some hot dogs and I'm good. And I can just fry him up. And he's a carnivore too. Now I'm not sure if you saw that he's like a 14-year-old soccer player and a track and cross country, which is off-road track kind of running where he does 2 mile, a mile. And he's been carnivore since the summer. And he actually he plays defense normally, but they put him into offense now too, because he never runs out of gas. The kids can just keep running. So they started putting him on offense, which is great. And he's not the fastest guy or the best ball handler, but he just doesn't get tired and he never quits. And relentless will get you very far in this world, especially in sports. But anyway, he's been on carnivore for a while. I've been on carnivore for a couple hundred days now. And everything about my life, food-wise, has minimalized. I don't see food as entertainment anymore. I see it as a biological function that I just do and get out of the way so I can do something more interesting in my life.
Yeah, but I get what you're saying about the energy levels, because I've got energy levels now back to the days when I was 18. I cannot believe the level of energy that I have now. I used to run businesses. I was CEO of some logistics companies, and getting out of bed was, oh, here we go, get in the shower, get off to work. Now at 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm down bouncing around the room. If anything, the wife's chucking me out because I'm too bouncy. She calls me Tigger. She thinks I'm like Tigger from Willy the Pooh sometimes. And my energy doesn't seem to deplete throughout the entire day. That's the other thing. Right. I used to come home and fall asleep in the sofa, or once I've eaten a meal, doze off a bit for an hour. None of that happens at all now. It's just phenomenal.
Yeah, I would put it this way. I spring out of bed, which has never been the case. I don't need coffee or anything. I just spring out of bed and I'm ready to go. And I start doing things. And yeah, the energy level, the motivation. I didn't have motivation before that I have now. The planning, like now I'm, like I said before, my body was just going downhill. And I just kind of resigned to the fact that, well, this is what getting old looks like. I mean, I'm almost 60, you know, I'm headed towards 60. And I figured my life's just going to be coasting downhill and try to live as the best quality of life without getting too sick and not dying too early. That's all I thought I had left. Now I'm planning to do some 5Ks, some 10Ks, maybe even do, there's something called the Bataan Death March at White Sands Missile Base, which is a military marathon in the sand, which I've always wanted to do, but I got injured before I could do it when I was active duty. And I want to go back and do that. So I'm actually thinking about planning to go forward and do these things that I thought were just off the table, never going to be able to do again in my life. Are there any things that you thought were off the table that you're planning to do now?
Yeah, well, I thought my fitness days were, as you say, you feel like this is getting old. This is how it is now with aches and pains. Well, I've done some crazy things. I did the London Marathon in a medieval suit of armor, 35 kilos of 700-year-old metal, which was, because my name is Day, my friend dared me to do it as a knight, and one fairly drunken night thought it was a great idea. And it was a week later when my phone buzzed and it was eBay confirming I'd spent £1,800 buying a medieval suit of armor. Funny enough, I was married, but that was a previous wife. And I think that when I had explained we weren't going on holiday because I'd spent the holiday money. And when she stopped swearing and she asked, what did you spend it on? And I said, a suit of armor. And then when she calmed down again, she said, oh, yeah, because I've signed up for the British Heart Foundation to run the London Marathon in 4 weeks' time with zero training. So, yeah, so I've done some crazy things in my past and I felt those days were gone. But now, one of the things I really want to do, I did an MBA not in the too distant ago, and I loved all that academia side of it. And so I'm looking to use myself as my own experiment. And I mean, I'm going through, because of so much energy in the morning and the night, I'm going through a book every 3 days. And so I'm quite keen to take it up a level. I want to start doing training again, not anywhere near the level I was, but to get fit again and tone up well. But I want to document it and then potentially do it as a PhD into nutrition and impact on the body, especially, hate to say it, our older generation like ourselves.
Right. Well, I just feel like I have so much gas in the tank left. I tell people this. When I left the military, I was pretty broken. I had my 20-year letter so I could retire, but I was planning on doing some more deployments and staying in. But I just got mentally burned out and physically burned out so that when it got really hard, I quit. I think if I had been carnivore at that point, I wouldn't have. And actually, I think that right now, if I were to go back in the military, which is impossible, if I could, I'd be a better soldier now than I was the last 2 years I was in, just because my abilities, I heal faster. I'm in better shape. My energy level, my mental clarity, no depression. I don't know about you, but I had depression. And it would just come on days. It'd be like a sunny day like today. I'd be like, I'm just depressed. I don't know why. I guess that's just part of life. And then stress levels are way low and anxiety is pretty much gone. For me, that all happened. I don't know about you, if you ever had any physical or mental effects that changed that you've noticed that you'd like to talk about.
I built a couple of logistics companies and one was really, really successful and then had a major issue and it was quite a massive fall, a catastrophe, really. The whole business had to be closed down. I had to sell off parts of the business. and try and sort of save what I had. And the stress levels on that and the impact on, you know, I'd built a company. I knew every member of staff. I knew all their families. And then suddenly the thing's gone. And that was honestly, if it wasn't brilliantly for the strength of my wife sticking by me and kicking me up the backside when I needed it, it was the most stress I've experienced in a long, long time. And that affects your health and your well-being and all that side of it. And I've always kind of carried that as a bit of a cross that I've carried, that I've always felt a bit guilty of the way it went wrong. I had the Midas touch. Things were going so well and I overstretched the business and, you know, and things just backfired on me rapidly. And now, under the Carnival side, my thought is so sharp. I'm back to the old person I used to be, and I've now set up, I've recently left my last company as the CEO, and I've now set up my own brand new business, and at my age of 57 and going again, and I think I'm ready to go for the next 20 years, and that has just given me so much more drive and confidence. And that, I never suffered from depression as such, but I did, stress would get me down, and now I feel invincible again.
Yeah. So if you believe what Dr. Chafee says, our bodies are designed to live 120 years. So if you die before 120 years, something killed you.
Yeah.
So we're midlife right now, man. Not quite that. We got a couple more years till we get to midlife, which I'm
We're
about.
We're still youth.
That's pretty exciting. And what about the physical effects? Is there other things that you've noticed that you had conditions that cleared up other than just the energy and the...
Yeah. Well, there was a couple of issues. One, because of the judo with all the pull and the thingy, I had a lifetime with hemorrhoids gone.
Just, oh, wow.
I had without trying to do the comedy moment, I had to have a proper look because I thought that can't be right. The other thing I had just before I started Carnivore, I got some skin cancer and it formed quite aggressively. So obviously when I had it checked, they removed it almost coincidentally when I first started doing bone broth on the carnivore diet. And it was quite an aggressive cancer as well, but I'm obviously getting checked over the next 2 years, but it's pretty much well cleared up. But the thing that shocked me was I had 9 stitches in a scar on my forehead, but, and I'm absolutely convinced it's the bone broth. I've never seen a scar heal and repair so quickly in my life, to the point that people don't believe I've actually had anything done. So there's things like that. I never had any sort of major issues, but as I say, on the interview of my nephew, he was almost bedbound for long periods of time because of his back issues and had major surgery. Now he's recovered so well. So I've seen others gain from the benefits of carnivore as well, but me, as the mental side of it, has just transformed me back to my 18-year-old me again.
Yeah, so I personally know people that had old scars that went away, which is crazy, like 12-year-old scars that are gone now, and people can't believe they ever had a scar there, which and I've heard of women who had cesarean or other surgeries in their abdomen that have cleared up too, which is pretty amazing, right? So if nothing else, they'll reduce, but it's so hard to believe that something like this could, well, your body just stops fighting all the inflammation and starts healing. Like it's gone about to healing my ankle. It's amazing.
And it's like, I used to have like skin tags in here, but gone, just almost gone. Like, just like, what's going on here?
Now, skin cancer is very dangerous because a melanoma basically go anywhere in your body. And I know that because I had a very good friend that had skin cancer, and then she got cancer elsewhere too, before I knew this about this diet. Because I tell you what, I was, after, I don't know if you saw my interview with DC Learning to Live or David Charles from Australia, but he's beat blood cancer stage 4 and he's put it in complete remission through a ketogenic diet and now on carnivore, which is amazing.
That was an amazing story. I couldn't, when I watched that, I was blown away with that. And that helped me as well with what I was going through at the time.
Yeah. So there are studies, if you go back to the 1920s, where they knew this. And I don't know if you've seen, I do have a movie review channel on my, or a playlist on my channel. And there's a documentary, I think it's a documentary, where they talk about all this knowledge they had in the 1920s before the Depression and World War II, right? So they had done studies. These are clinical, real studies where they could. And they had starved cancer by doing a zero-carb diet, high-fat diet in mice, and had proven clinically with real data, not like epidemiological studies where you ask someone what they ate. This is real data, hard science, that it actually stops cancer. And they were treating people with that. And that knowledge just seemed to have gotten lost during the Depression and World War II, where people were no longer worried about health. They were just worried about living for another day. And what everything else didn't matter. And once they survived through all that, then the 50s came in and there's the big boom where no one worried about health either, because everyone just had an abundance of everything, cheap food and housing and security. And I think somehow we lost all that. And the fact that that knowledge is still out there, if you're going to get your doctorate, deep dive into that stuff too.
Yeah, that'll be interesting, because clearly from what studies I've looked in so far, sugar is the thing that feeds a cancer. Oh, yeah. And you take that away, and it's not just, people think of sugar as a lump of sugar. There are so many different types of sugars, but right. They all have the net same result. And, you know, and I think that, coincidental to a degree, that I was on carnivore when they discovered the cancer and I started having the treatment and whatever. But what has blown me away is when I had a scar, it would take a few weeks to clear up. This had cleared up within a week. It was honestly, yeah. It was surreal. So when they took the stitches out, the lady taking the stitches out was concerned because she couldn't believe how well my skin had healed. She was struggling to get the stitch out. And that's, you know, and that's a week after the operation.
Yeah, okay, that's something else I got to explain. My skin is the best it's ever been in my whole life since high school. I mean, and I had pimples and stuff. Now my son doesn't even have breakouts anymore. He used to have pimples. He's 14. What kid doesn't get pimples, right? Well, a kid that eats a carnivore diet. That's who doesn't get pimples. And my ankle, like I was saying, I had a service-related injury, so I couldn't run. Because every time I ran, last time I had tried, I ran a quarter mile. Because I wanted to train with my son because he's training and I used to run track. I used to wrestle. I didn't do judo, but I wrestled, which is very similar. It's American wrestling is Roman Greco. And then I played rugby. So I've done all the physical stuff. And to see him run and to train him and not be able to run next to him really bothered me. So I tried to run with him once. I did a quarter mile and my ankle just ballooned up. And I always had this like knot, like an egg-sized knot on the back of my Achilles that would never go down. And if I ran like that quarter mile, it would wake me up in the middle of the night, throbbing and heat. And I'd have to take pills to try to get back to sleep and it would keep me up. But that is gone, which is, that's years it's been there. Years.
Yeah.
And now there's no knot there. So it is amazing what your body can actually heal from. I know the body can heal from a lot, but when you see it, when it's on the right diet, it's just hard to believe. It's incredible. That's the word I keep going back to. It's incredible, because no one would believe it if you told them, right?
I wouldn't believe it if I hadn't witnessed some of the things I've witnessed. And it's phenomenal. Because this, for example, like, I had a lot of fat around my middle and around my face, but obviously my legs, I always thought, were fairly muscular. But since being on this diet, my legs have stripped right down really to pure muscle now. And I suddenly realized how much fat I must have had laid within the muscles in my thighs, etc. And now I can take the dog for a walk for miles. Like you, I've now got so much energy, I'm going to start running again now, which I haven't done for 15 years. So, you know, and I just feel so much energy.
And do you find yourself wanting to get outside, wanting to go do something? Yeah. That's me. I've cut off my cable. I rarely I watch sports every now and then. I watch some hockey and I'm an ice hockey guy. So I do watch some of that, but I don't watch the news. I don't watch shows too much at all. It's really rare. I used to have TV on all the time. I just don't anymore. I'd rather get outside, especially in the morning. I walk my dog. I love to watch the sunrise and just be outdoors. It's just, I have a desire to be out doing something now. And I didn't have that for years.
Yep, agree. I think the only downside for me is the dog. I've got an English bulldog and he ain't keen at getting up in the mornings and going out. So he's very reluctant when I'm trying to get him out.
He's not going to do miles with you, huh, too often, because he's got short legs.
He's a fit dog. He'll do 2 or 3 miles. Because bulldogs, they've got this reputation of being short and fat and all that, but they're actually quite a fit dog if you keep them fit.
Okay.
And obviously he's on the carnivore as well now. So
good. Hey, did you see I just posted something. There's a mini documentary online about dog food and kibble and how bad it is for you. Have you seen that yet?
No, I haven't seen that one yet.
If you go to my comments section on my YouTube channel, look it up, because that food was designed during World War II when all the real meat went to soldiers and they didn't have real meat to feed the dogs, so they started making dry kibble, and it shows that basically everything, the reason our dogs are getting sick and dying young is because they're eating a diet very similar to ours, but worse, actually. Yeah, and probably, it's a very interesting video. So it's a short documentary. I think it might be 40 minutes long.
Look into that.
Yeah, it's worth watching.
Yeah, but he's gone carnivore anyhow, so he's
Duke has too.
Yeah.
Duke's on chicken. What do you feed your dog?
He normally gets any of my tidbits that I leave, because it's weird, because I used to give the dog the fat years ago. Now I'm the one eating the fat, and I'm giving him some of the meat sort of side of it. But he normally has a beef, a piece of rump or something like that, all cut up, but he has it raw as well. So
yeah, there's a diet called the PMR diet for dogs, which is a primal raw diet. Yeah. Is what it is. And it talks about what they need. Dogs don't need the same amount of fat as we do because their brain function, it doesn't require as much fat. Ours requires a lot of fat because our brain is made out of cholesterol and runs on ketones. So going a low fat diet is the absolute perfect way to make a society that's not really sharp, not firing on all cylinders and sick. And that's what's happened to our society. But dogs don't need that. So I give him fatty chicken cuts, which is like quarter legs, and I grind them up and I throw in hearts every now and then. And he is the healthiest dog. It's amazing. It's amazing the difference in him. Have you noticed a difference in your dog's health?
Yep, absolutely. He's a bigger pain in the backside than he used to be. So yeah. He has a lot. Again, he's another dog for an English bulldog. A reputation of being lazy buggers. He has got so much energy.
Yeah.
Apart from he doesn't like getting up in the mornings. He likes to lay in.
Duke wakes me up because it's time to eat in the morning. So he gets his breakfast, but then he goes back to sleep. But then he'll want to play several times through the day. And as a Great Dane, they're usually very sedate dogs. They're bred for the royal court to look very intimidating and majestic. So they're meant for the Danish court. Anyways, he only takes 20 minutes of exercise a day, but now he wants to play at night too. So now he has like two exercise sessions. Once I take him out, and then he'll bring his toys around and like, are you ready to play? It's 9 at night, dude. It's bedtime. Come on now. And I have to play with him because he has to have some playing. But all right, let's move to your YouTube channel. Tell me about why you, a CEO of a company, a CEO of several companies, and someone who's going to get a doctor, why would you want to start a YouTube channel?
Well, in all fairness, YouTube is my go-to place. I'm not a Google man. If I want to know how to work something like the washing machine stuck and I can't open the door, I'll go to YouTube and do it. So I've always used it as a source of information. Mainly, I was so blown away in the first month. So I started on the 20th of June. On the 20th of July, I checked my weights. I took a picture of myself and compared it, and I was really blown away. And I was really proud of myself for what I achieved. So I posted something on Facebook just for my family and friends. As you appreciate, being seven boys, we've got a rather extended family. So I posted on there and say, hey, guys, look, this is incredible. This is what's happened, to the point that my nephew then followed me and started doing the carnivore after that. But the response I got was overwhelming, with people saying, brilliant, what have you done? How did you do this? And the questions and questions and questions. And so I then said, well, look, I'll post again next month on the 20th of August, and we'll take it from there. But in that time, people were saying to me, do a YouTube, do a TikTok, do whatever it is, but document it, show everyone. So I actually thought, there's some mileage in this. So I set up the YouTube channel in July to really document what I was doing. And then that's when you kick yourself, because you're thinking, oh, I wish I'd have taken more photos of me before. And the thing is, I didn't like photos taken of me how I was. And I used to moan at the wife if there was pictures of me, and I'd like, oh God, I look so big. They say that the camera puts on 20 pounds. So I've stopped eating cameras. And I used to shy away from photos. Now I'm really proud of it. But so I did the YouTube channel, and it's in its infancy. It's nowhere near as polished as yours and all that. And I'm still learning as I'm going. And you gave me a brilliant tip on a particular software that I'm starting to use now on stuff, which I think is just brilliant. So I really appreciate that. But so it's documentary, because I've switched from my core thing was about losing weight and that, to now understand what the carnivore's done for me and what the carnivore can do. And that's why I want to look at doing the PhD and really go into it. And I'm weighing up, do I go down the nutrition, or do I go down the carnivore? So I'm just working out what it is I'm going to close off to do the study. But the YouTube is a great way of doing it. And it's a great source for me to share the story of my side of it and other people that are now on it that I know and all keen to talk about it. So that's why I set up the YouTube, really, was because people asked me to document it and to advise them on things. So that's why.
Let me ask you something. If YouTube hadn't existed, would you be on this diet right now?
No. Because yeah, I found the Joe Rogan Peterson conversation, and then obviously from there I found the others. I found Your Good Self. I'm now pleased there's others in the UK that I hadn't found before, so I'm tapping in with those guys. And once you get that community, that's why I went for the name Carnivore Nation, because yeah, it is about a communal thing. It's not just about individuals, and that's where I'm hoping to take it.
Yeah, I saw, so I was on YouTube. I'm going to ask you this question in a minute, because I'm sure I was on YouTube research. I have a Jeep and I'm an off-road driver because I'm a military guy and a lot of guys do that. And I enjoy going off-road and driving technical drives. They're challenging, right? It's just something I can do to get my mind off things. Mm-hmm. And I was researching how to put a part on my Jeep. And out of nowhere, you know, YouTube presents different videos for you to look at. And someone, it just popped up Fregno Freedom, and it was 128 days on carnivore, on lion diet. And I was like, what's this? And it showed a before and after picture. I'm like, well, I'll just watch it because I'm totally fat and don't like where I'm at. And maybe this is something I could look at. I've tried every diet like you. I did alternate day fasting. I did 18-6 fasting, all these different fasts. And then, of course, keto. And I've done that. I used to do keto when I was active duty to get into shape, to go to schools or to get ready for a PT test. And it worked, but I always fell off. And this is the first way of eating that I've ever found that is sustainable and easily sustainable. But going back to my point, that video got served up to me. I watched it and it was just a regular blue collar guy, like you say I am, just a normal Joe that wasn't any nutritionist, wasn't like some doctor. And he had freaking amazing results. And it was an old video, so I'm like, there's no way he's still on it. So I went to his channel and looked up and saw a 2-day old video, and he looked even better. And I was like, no way, that's years that this guy's been doing this, and he looks even better, looks younger than when he started years ago. So that's how I started. It was just looking up a part on a Jeep. So what were you actually doing on YouTube when you found that? Were you searching for something for health or?
No, what it was is my wife likes Jordan Peterson. She likes his point of view. So she was actually looking on YouTube at some of his stuff and came across this one with Joe Rogan. And she was literally going to say, oh, this is rubbish. And I went, hang on, whoa, let's hear what you have to say. And that was my first introduction to carnivore. I'd never come across it or heard of it before. I'd heard about keto, never tried it. Well, I did try it, and I got too confused. There was all this measuring of this, and
yeah,
and I'm hard. Whoa, where, you know, I could eat a steak, I could do that, I can fry some eggs. I
no macros.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah, it was very basic, but very to the point, and that's I tick my. And I realized then, in my judo days, I went on a carnivore during competition season because it was all about the protein and building up the strength and all that side. Although we did knock down a few Guinnesses as well, and I don't think that's part right. of the carnivore diet, but that's another story. But so that's really where it started. So from there, I used YouTube, just typed in carnivore and come across all the various bits and pieces and Kiltz and Berry and all these guys. And, you know, and I'm like, wow. Wow. Yeah. And it was every time it was wow. Can this be true? Is this so the only way to find out is do it yourself. So I went to the local butchers, I bought 6 ribeye steaks, I bought a dozen eggs, and I bought some streaky bacon. And I thought, right, this is my diet for a week. I'm gonna go for a week and see how it goes. And after the week, and I never had what I would say the flu they talk about. I did have a funny head for about an hour or so, but I'm not sure if that was something else or not. But I did have the issue with the changes in the bowel movements, and that was quite an experience for about a day and a half.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, I just felt good, and I suddenly was waking up at 6 in the morning, like waking up, ready to go. So I thought, you know what, I'll give it another week. Then I started checking on the scales, and the weight was dropping off me. And this was like this is almost like a Disney film, you know, it can't be real. And it just got better and better. And then I started, because obviously when people were talking about grass-fed over standard, and I'm starting up a new business, so I'm not particularly flush with money. I've got to be careful with money. But I did. I ordered some grass-fed meat, and I did a little video on that. And the meat does taste amazing.
Yeah.
But is it any different from the butcher's meat or supermarket meat? I don't know. So I mix it up. I buy meat when it's on offer. I'm looking to go to your equivalent of Costco. We have Booker's, or I can't think of the name of the other one, but I'm going to try and get a big slab of meat and cut up and do my own ribeyes and that. So that's my next sort of stage of experiments. I'm playing around with it. But my basics is, if I have a steak and I have two or three eggs, I might go 24, 36 hours before I'm even thinking about eating again. And that was unheard of with me. I was Mr. Three meals a day and eat quite a bit in between. Now I find that a decent meal, I am not looking for food. I occasionally take an electrolyte supplement. But other than that, absolutely full on, meat, steak, bacon, eggs. I'm playing around with today. I was messing around. I'm trying to make a carnivore cheesecake using cream, mascarpone cheese, and some cream cheese, and baking it in the oven. It's there. I'm letting it cool at the moment, so I'm going to test that out. But probably tastes like, I don't know. The dog will probably enjoy it. But I'm playing around with ideas and that. But I can't ever see myself coming away from this now.
Yeah, that's the way I was. I started out thinking I'm going to prove this is either a scam or it's real. And I'm sure you've seen my videos where I talk about Cortez burning his ships when he came to the New World, right? I'm burning my ships. I'm emptying everything out and I'm going 100%. And it's either going to work or it's going to fail, but it's not going to be because I didn't try or didn't do the right effort. It's going to be because it's a scam or it works. And I proved that it worked. And after the first month, I thought, okay, I'm feeling great. Lost 20 some odd pounds. Amazing. I'm going to do it for another month and then see. And I'll evaluate. And then I did another month and evaluate. And then I thought, well, I'm going to start reintroducing foods. Totally anticipated reintroducing things into my diet. But now that I've gotten this far, I don't care to. I've reintroduced some seasonings. Like I make a chili every now and then, very rarely. And then the other thing is I don't even eat steaks all the time. I find myself eating a lot what you call minced meat or.
Yeah.
That's very satisfying for me. And I will eat minced meat. That's all I'll eat some days. Minced meat without even any eggs. I'll just eat all day. But every now and then I'm throwing in steaks and I eat corn-fed, just the grain-fed beef, and had amazing results just because it's inexpensive. I can get a better quality cut. We have different qualities of cuts here. We have choice, prime, and standard. So I go for the choice grain-fed. It's just marbled well and I like the flavor. Now I do get grass-fed butter and I melt that on top of all my cuts. So I do add grass-fed fat to my foods. So that's just the way I do it. And everyone has their own path and their own way to go. And like I said, there's people I'm sure in your country, just like mine, retirees and such on restrictive budgets. And I recommend to them just, hey, get minced meat and eggs. That's the way to go. Eggs and minced meat, you'll get all the benefit from a BBBE, which is bacon, butter, beef, and eggs. And you can get a little bacon, throw it in, get a steak every now and then, but just eat minced meat and eggs and you'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm started eating the 20% fat mince meat and making my own little burgers and that, and fantastic. Interesting you said about introducing other bits. I'm, for my sins, I'm a Buffalo Bills fan and they played in London a couple of weeks
ago. How does that work?
Okay. I'm a big Ipswich Town football fan. Football, okay. Not soccer. We invented the game, not you. And one of my good buddies, he moved to Buffalo, so I used to go over and see him, and as you do, I found out what a tailgate was all about, and that was something else. And so I fell in love with the Buffalo Bills, and on ice hockey, I'm a Sabres fan, so warn you on that one as well.
Oh, hey, the Sabres are looking good this year. Yeah, really good. But so are the Red Wings. I'm a Red Wings fan, so
okay,
that's a great matchup, though. They're one of the original teams, both of them.
So I got into Buffalo Bills that way. And then when they came to London quite recently against the Jaguars, I went up there and I thought, do you know what? I'm having a day off carnivore. So I had a couple of pints of Guinness. I had a hot dog. One, I didn't enjoy them. I'll be perfectly honest. On the journey home, I felt not nausea, but I didn't feel my usual bubbly self. The next day, I woke up okay, but I felt lethargic. And I thought, wow, that is what 2 pints of Guinness and a hot dog is done to me. Wow, why would I want to go back to that? And that's really confirmed it to me. But yeah, my and unfortunately, son, the Jaguars won as well, which didn't help.
My son actually had a day where he cheated and he had a burger from a place we call Whataburger here in Texas, which is amazing burgers. We used to love going there when I was eating the standard American diet. And he really was jonesing for a burger. So he went and had one and he told me about it. He said, Dad, one, the burger didn't even taste as good as I thought. Like in his memory, it was better than in real life when he ate it. And then the other thing was, it jacked his stomach up or he had problems digestively right after that. And I'm like, yeah, so he's just off that stuff now. He just doesn't care to do it. Plus he's taken 2 minutes off his 2 mile run. He's made PRs in every race he's done. Wow. Like I said, they put him in an offense and defense in soccer now because he just doesn't run out of gas. And it's amazing to see a young kid. And he lost 10 pounds, which I didn't know how he could lose the weight, but he did. He just slimmed down and looks like a complete athlete now, which is amazing.
And it's the evidence is there. That is the evidence.
It's just so obvious that that's the way we're meant to eat. As Dr. Chafee said, and I think this is Dr. Chafee talks about deviating from the proper human diet. So for every 1% you deviate from a pure, proper human diet, you'll lose about 10% efficacy in your diet results. So that's why when you do keto, if you're probably only getting 5 or 10% of the results you're looking for, and it's still pretty amazing because you're not getting the negative results and you're getting a 5 to 10% positive result. But when you go to full carnivore, it's so rapid. You don't have to guess if it's working, you know, in a couple of weeks. It is so amazing and rapid that you're getting that 90 to now. If you deviate from your carnivore diet by 5%, you're getting 50% efficacy, which is still pretty awesome. And so you can do the ketovore, which I think that's why a lot of people, that's why ketovore exists, I think, is because people are actually getting a much better result leaning into the actual proper human diet, which is a carnivore diet. Yeah, it's pretty amazing stuff.
So my results speak for themselves. Now, in 92 days, I lost 21.7% of my body weight.
And that's your body weight. You probably lost more fat.
Yeah.
And you put on muscle and bone density.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm definitely much more firm in the key areas. That is phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah, for me too. All right, let's get into this. What are your goals for your YouTube channel? Do you have goals set up yet? What would be a successful YouTube channel for you?
That's a bloody brilliant question, if you don't mind me saying. I did it more to inform people that wanted to track what I was up to. However, now I see the YouTube channel as being the base of what I intend to do with my research and do my study around. So I'm trying to like engage with the likes of yourselves and dealing with stuff. I also want to, and I haven't had it yet because I'm still quite in the infancy. I haven't had any of the haters come on the scene yet, and I'm sure they'll come in time. But I'm one of these people, I'd rather engage with them and then say, right, fine, if that's your view, come on, let's discuss it, let's broadcast it, let's see what you say. But don't reel off facts, use facts that are actually genuine, not all this rubbish and you hear in the hearsay. Come up with defined facts, because I'll hit them with the facts that I find. So I'm hoping to make it, and that's why I use the word Carnivore Nation. I want to be very encompassing. If people want to try it, people are in it, people want to discuss it, people want to knock it, come along, let's get it out there in the open. But I do see it as a platform for me to build. I'm going to start publishing some of the research. I'm going to do a review of the book that I've mentioned. I'm sorry about that, the cameras are rubbish.
There you go.
I'm going to be doing a variety. What I don't want to do is try and be encompassing everything and try and do too much. So I'm moving my hands too much, which is affecting the camera. So I do apologize.
It's okay.
But I do see it as to be in the base of my research, and hopefully that people can use it and learn and encourage them to do it if they wish to do it. And if you don't want to do the carnivore, don't do it. You know, I'm not going to preach to people. As I say, like in McDonald's, you want to go up to people and say, Christ almighty, what are you doing to your children? But that's not my place to do. But if I can get it out there and people see it and it benefits one other person, then it's worth doing.
That's my thing. If one person doesn't commit suicide because they saw this and they went down this path and their mental health got better, one veteran or one first responder, then that's mission accomplished. That's it. That's 100%. On top of that, people are using, well, we've talked about YouTube, how it's got its drawbacks, but it is such an amazing platform that's allowed us to do this grassroots movement. And I think this is the way that we change the dietary guidelines, because you can't do it from the top down. You can't go to your congressman or your MP and make a change. You can't. We have to do it from the grassroots. We have to get a large groundswell of citizens who are concerned over their diet and who are educated to basically take up the fight. And that's the only way we're going to change it, because the money's coming from the top down, pushing their agenda, right? Mm-hmm. And the only way we get the dietary guidelines to change is to do a movement like this, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. Well, in all fairness, you think about it, veganism and vegetarianism had the same problem 20 years ago.
Right.
Now, every restaurant you go in, there's a vegan meals, there's vegetarian meals, but you don't see any carnivore meals.
Yeah.
So perhaps yeah. that's going to be part of my campaign, to get us to have a carnivore part of the menu.
Yeah, we have to be careful on that, because I saw what keto, and this reason I fell off many times, I think, was everything, because there's no real restriction. Anyone can put keto on something and call it keto. And it's not really keto, right? It has sugar in it, dextrose, whatever. Sugar has 56 different names, I think. So they can hide it in anywhere. And you, yeah. and it's crazy what they do. But you can see this keto snack saying, oh, I'm going to have a keto snack. And it's nothing keto about it. And we need to make sure. I think we do need some kind of regulatory or some foundation that you can put carnivore on a package if it's really carnivore. Of course, meat is really carnivore. I mean, carnivore is so easy. It's just meat, butter, eggs, bacon, salt, water. There's no money to be made marketing it, because it's just basic. And that's part of the problem we're going against, I think, is the money is in the cheap vegetable stuff. And that it's an uphill battle, but we can do it. And even if, like I said, if we just affect change locally in a small group of people, it'll just, there'll be basically waves, ripple waves going out. And that's the idea. That's why I really want to focus on highlighting smaller YouTube channels and getting more and more people interested in starting YouTube channels. YouTube channels are very hard. They're not easy to start or run. There's a lot of new skill sets you have to learn. A lot of organization, takes a lot of time. There's no pay. I mean, it's very rewarding. Like anything else in life, it's hard. So if you're watching this or listening to this, I definitely recommend you guys do go and look up the Carnivore Nation. And you're going to have to help me with your, it's Carnivore Nation. And I forget what the rest of the...
some silly numbers. But if you just type in Carnivore Nation, it takes you straight to it anyhow.
Does it? Okay.
I've tested it out, so...
Yeah. Carnivore Nation has a YouTube channel. I'm going to look it up real quick. Oh, it's... I'm gonna actually put it in here. Carnivore Nation-OH2FY, right?
Yep. For some reason, wouldn't let me just use Carnivore Nation, but...
You know, I think someone had taken that, maybe?
May well have done. May well have done, but...
So
that's yeah.
So I'm going to give you the floor at the end here. And what I'd like you to do, in addition to telling people how to get in touch with you, but I'd like you also to give advice to someone who's hearing about this for the first time or is interested in looking into it. And what would you do if someone came to you and said, how do I start today?
Okay. I went into it full-blooded. I went, this is the tomorrow, I'm doing it. And I went straight into, went out, bought a load of meat, bought a load of eggs, bought the bacon, and just went at it. I have a brilliantly supportive wife, but she had one meal with me cooked in fat and then went, no, I'm doing my own cooking from now on. I'm not having it. So we've cooked totally separately on that front. So as long as you understand, you can probably gradually build up to it by cutting out the sugars and all that and do it if you're concerned. But for me, other than the side effect of the changes in my stomach and obviously the changes in the bowel movements for a period of time, I've sailed for it and I found it really, really good. So I'm a great believer. Try it for a week, try it for a fortnight, try it for a month, because that's what I did. And it just grows and grows to the point now, I can't imagine not doing it.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work for you, it doesn't work for you. But give it a go. It's better to have tried it and failed than not to ever have tried it. I would say to people, give it a go. The thing I come across quite often is people say, well, it's so expensive. It's so expensive. But you don't need to buy the grass-fed meat. You know, you can go to the supermarket and you can get the deals. Like yesterday, I hadn't eaten all day long. I fancied something. I got some couple of wings, bunged it in the air fryer. I think I left half the wings because I was full after that. And I finished the others off this morning and I've not eaten since. So you find out you don't spend so much on food once you're in it, because you're eating so much less, because you're full. And it's not as bad as people think it is. But I would say to people, do it. Go for it. Give it a go. I mean, look at the interview with my wife. She was so not carnivore, and she's saying to people, give it a go. Give it a go. And I know of a dozen people now that are doing it. And so far, from what I can tell, they're all still on it. They're still getting benefits from it. So there's nothing to lose apart from try it out yourself. See how your body reacts to it.
Can someone in England do a mincemeat and egg diet pretty affordably if they're eating primarily eggs and just mincemeat? Okay.
Yeah, all the supermarkets sell minced meat, and eggs are reasonably cheap. If, like, where I'm fortunate, I live in Ipswich, which is out in sort of the farmland areas, so there's I can go to a farm and get eggs as well. But, the supermarket eggs are just good. They're all free range. They're all pretty decent sort of side of it. Yeah, one of the things, I've done some film clips, and I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to be pushing up, is I'm actually going to do trying to budget for a certain amount of money for a week on carnivore and then publish that. So I've done some bits on it, doing bone broth and that. Now, what I was weighing up about doing, I was probably going to ask you about this. I might do 1 week based on just the supermarket, do another week based on local stores, as in a butcher and a farm shop or whatever, and just seeing how they compare, because that might be something worth, so for educate people, it's not as bad as you think it is.
Yeah.
But once you're on it, within a couple of days, you're eating so much less. If I have more than I normally have one decent meat meal a day. And if I'm peckish, I might pick at something in the evening. But other than that, I might go the next 24 hours and not eat and not want to eat.
Yeah, I shop much less. I generate much less trash. My garbage, I used to put a couple bags out a week, I think, into the. Now I just do one bag, and it's not even full when I take it out. It's just time to go because the garbage is getting picked up. I don't throw away any more food. I mean, I rarely throw food away because Duke will eat any scraps I don't eat. So there's no and I used to throw away food all the time. I don't buy ingredients. I don't buy sauces. I don't buy seasonings. I don't run out of any of this. I don't buy bread. There's so much you don't buy that you don't realize that you buy on a daily and weekly basis. There's nothing that goes bad. I freeze stuff and I cook stuff and that's it. So I shop very, and my shopping is so easy because I'm in and out of the store in 5-10 minutes. I know exactly what I'm getting. 98% of that stuff I'm not going to look at. It doesn't even look like food to me anymore. It looks like just junk. It's no different. You're just not even tempted by it when you walk by anymore.
Yep, absolutely. I can sit in McDonald's or KFC while the wife's churning into something and sit there and watch her. And if anything, I'll buy sparkling water.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So how can people get a hold of you on social media? Do you only have a YouTube channel or do you have other?
No, I have Twitter or X, whichever it's called nowadays. I can never keep up with. Yeah, X. And that is Carnivore Nation. I also have a Facebook for Carnivore Nation as well. So that's why I kept it with the name. It's just the YouTube one. I just couldn't get away with just calling it Carnivore Nation. But
So your Facebook, do you have just a page or do you have a group as well?
I have a page at the moment. So I'm fairly much in the infancy. I'm not like you as a flying social mediaist. But I'm getting the gist of it. I have my own Facebook, which is Carl Day. Anyone's welcome to join me on that side of it. I've got no issues with that. But I tend to not use my own Facebook that much other than communicating with family. So that's why I set up the Carnivore Nation YouTube channel as well. So basically what I don't want to do is have to do a dozen different social media. So I feel that the YouTube, I've even got a, what they call it, TikTok, is it? But that's I'm messing around with more humorous stuff there. And I do stand-up comedy. So I'm trying to use TikTok as a little bit comedy side of it, but it's linked to my YouTube. I was in McDonald's the other day and I did a box and I got it talking, saying, what do carnivores eat in McDonald's? Me. And it opens up and it's just got two burger patties. But the silly little things I'm doing, amazingly, it got quite a few thousand likes in a space of about an hour. So I've got to stop moving my hands.
Sorry. Yeah, your camera's picking up those hands.
All the time.
Yeah, you're like the invisible man.
Yeah, sorry about that. But yeah, I see the YouTube as being the core, and then the other social medias will bounce off it.
Okay, sounds good. So everyone knows how to get a hold of you. I'll publish that stuff in the comments below and in the comments in the podcast if anyone wants to follow. Definitely, I recommend you check him out. Carl's a great guy and starting his channel out. And Carl, I'm going to drop you off. We're out of time. Just stick around for a minute. so we can chat afterwards, and I'm going to sign out. All right, guys, that was another great interview. And all I got to say is stay strong and overcome. Carnivore Soldier out.